This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Coming up, we are stunned to a news in 20 minutes. But in studio right now talking basketball with us is the great Tim Capstraw, the Capper, who is a color analyst for the Brooklyn Nets, also an analyst for NBA TV. He's dropping on by in studio with us, and we were talking about the Western Conference last hour. So if you missed that, you can check out the podcast. Just simply go to cbssportsradio.com and click on the DA Show tab or our podcast. Search the DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. We're talking Eastern Conference now, and it was funny. Last night, I think this was last night because that's why we were playing the audio, Shaq was getting into it with Barkley about how it's easier for Jimmy Butler to go off because there's no defensive player of the year, you know, that he's battling against in Marcus Smart. And Shaq says, it doesn't matter. I played Dikembe Mutombo in the finals. Look at my numbers. And we did. And he averaged 33 and 14 against Dikembe Mutombo. So we'll start just with little Shaq thing. How dominant was Shaq in his prime compared to even the very best who could defend him?
The thing is that he was so different. You didn't know how to guard him with Shaq in his prime. You didn't know how to guard him. He was such a physical force down low that you didn't even know how to officiate Shaq, because guys would bump him, but you wouldn't notice it. Guys would really try to foul him. He'd go right through it, and the officials were confused. It's a little bit like Giannis has a little bit of that with his force going towards the basket. You know, he's different. He's a different guy to evaluate.
You could call a foul on every single play.
More, or guys are really being physical with. But Shaq was really the physical force, and how he affected. You had to game plan everything around that ability to catch the ball, just drop step and dunk it, and go through people. Guys that can go through people are a problem, right? Giannis can go through people. Shaq went way through people. Even in some ways, when we just talked about it, Luka doesn't have to go around you. He can navigate his way back and forth and has size and strength to go through or just have agility with. But getting back to Shaq, it didn't matter. He was just too tough, too physical a force to deal with.
So Jimmy Butler drops 41 points in game number one, and it looks like for tonight's game number two, Al Horford will not be in the lineup. He's out with COVID. Looks like Marcus Smart will be in the lineup, who's going to come back off of the ankle injury that kept him out of game number one. The question's been, is Jimmy Butler a star? Is Jimmy Butler great? Where is Jimmy Butler, and where do you tier him in the NBA?
Yeah, Noel, because I think he's got such a winning mentality, I put him way up there. I'm way up there. If you've been a coach like me and lost a lot, I used to lose a lot for coaching, right? And you go through, you don't get, I'm not into style points. I'm in like, I want to know who's winning. Who's winning me the game? And that's what he always, in my mind, brought. I couldn't believe Philadelphia let him go, especially after the series that he had, you know, and they let him go and how dominant a player he was. I think he's got an edge to him, a mentality, and he's in the perfect, perfect place. I'd put him, you know, I guess you don't put him in the top. He's a top 15 player in the NBA, but toughness-wise, it scores a lot higher with me. So that makes him, you know, even higher than that.
You're so right about the fit. When he left to go to Miami, and of course the Sixers kind of pushed him out the door. They wanted to play nice, I guess, with Ben Simmons, play nice with Tobias Harris. Jimmy Butler probably had a little bit too much of an edge, a little bit too much salt or whatever. He goes to Miami, and everybody says, ah, he's just taking the money. He's going down to South Beach. It's easy down there. Yeah. It's nice. And in fact, it was the opposite. Jimmy Butler found the perfect situation to win in because he's a Riley Spoelstra Heat type of guy.
Exactly. Like, if the NBA had like Match.com, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what Jimmy Butler with Pat Riley as the executive and Eric Spoelstra as the coach and like all these tough guys around the team. Oh my God, he's like the perfect. He's the perfect person. And it's almost like, what took him so long, right? This was the guy,
yeah.
Even to the point where he's got such an edge to him that, remember, I don't know, was it 2 months ago when they're in the timeout and him and Spoelstra are going at it, and yeah. Udonis Haslam is all fired up. He's behind everything. And, you know, and the beauty of it was, you know, Jimmy Butler's being Jimmy Butler, which can be a little out of control, but Spoelstra didn't want to. He had nothing. He stood right up to it. That hasn't hurt them a bit. That's the kind of stuff that on weaker teams can kind of start pulling people away. On tougher teams, brings them even more together.
It's such a good point. How often do we ever see an NBA champion, if they do win a championship, have a timeout where the star player and the coach get into it? It never happens. Those are the types of things that happen on weak teams, on squads that have a lot of drama, and the coach is going to get fired.
Right.
And yet, in Miami, I guess it's because Spo has a backbone, Spo is supported by Pat Riley, and they know how to use Jimmy Butler. And so I guess it just works.
Yeah, I mean, they went through a tough time right there. It wasn't going great or whatever was happening, and then they're in a huddle, and it's awkward. But I was also impressed. I was like, Spoelstra wasn't backing down, and why should he? What I love about the Miami Heat is that you got Pat Riley there, and I think he thinks Spoelstra is the most important person in the franchise. You know what I mean? Like,
which, where does that happen in the NBA?
That doesn't happen very. You say, well, Jimmy Butler's got one. Well, he's great, and they got this player or that player. Bam Adebayo. No. This coach, I believe in him. He's more proven than any one of you other guys. Show me what you got, because you're going before he goes. And then everything. And then Spoelstra's a great coach. And the way he carries himself, and then the energy and the toughness and how they target players. Think about it. I think they have six players on their team that are undrafted. People go back to game one, and you think about the third quarter. Everybody said, well, Jimmy Butler got to the free throw line. He was dominant. He had 16 points, I think, in that quarter. Max Strus and Gabe Vincent got the game. Butler scored a couple baskets, got a couple free throws. Then Gabe Vincent made a huge deep three with the clock winding down. Strus hit another three. Strus got a steal and a dunk. That's when it went to 7 or 8 points with undrafted tough players doing the job for you. This is an interesting and a fun team to evaluate right now. But I'm also a Boston Celtic fan too, so this is going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, what makes you a Celtics fan?
I was just like, I think this is where the NBA is going right now. I think the ability to be, again, I think I said it before, but 6'7", 6'8", can guard. Everybody can switch and guard, defend. Saw that with the Golden State last night, right? Everybody's athletic, switch, guard, defend, can bother, and keep the ball in front of them. Offensively, they've got enough players that can be playmakers. They got a star in Tatum, same thing with Jaylen Brown, who can make a play and force help, and yet they have enough shooting also. And a guy like Al Horford, who can't play, but it gets to have a renaissance in his career because as a five, he can make shots. I think last night, even going back to the Maverick game, Max Kleba is an important player for them. He got in foul trouble. He wasn't making shots. I thought he was a difference maker against the Phoenix Suns. And I'm a fan of both of those teams, Miami and Boston. I think Boston is where the NBA is now. Right now, it's versatility. It's being able to do a lot of things. It's being able to guard every position and be able to shoot the basketball, and they can do that.
Tim Kapstra, NBA analyst, joins us in studio this morning on the show. Last night, game number one, Warriors win easily. We were talking about how great Luka was in the previous series, but last night, really the Warriors had a solution for him. On the other side of the Eastern Conference, what the Celtics need to do is figure out that defense that helped propel them from January on, moving forward without Al Horford, perhaps, and maybe a limited Marcus Smart. But Ime Udoka has been so good on the sideline after that really sluggish start. What have you seen from Ime that you've been impressed by?
Oh, I think he's a no-nonsense guy. I think he's got nice poise on the sideline. He's got a toughness. I see when guys, when they weren't playing well the other night, he didn't just casually bring them over and hey guys, let's get together. Let's work. No, he was in people. He's meeting them on the way to the bench, and he's not embarrassing them. But he's tough and he's direct. He's honest. He did get into it actually with a couple. You know, he's not. I just think he's a real guy, and I think players know that. I think Marcus Smart's going to. Here's how the NBA's played a lot, right? Not the Golden State will just play, but they'll target guys also, right? Peyton Pritchard's a good player, very good player, but you got to spot him in games where the other team doesn't have their best offensive players out there. The Celtics couldn't do that the other night. And what do teams do? They do an awful lot of bring Pritchard's man up to set a ball screen, so Pritchard might have to, oftentimes has to switch on to the basketball. Without that happened quite a bit to him the other night against the Miami Heat. And then the offense begins from there. Might not be that guy scoring, but it's just oftentimes a guy getting beat, somebody helping, ball moves. Marcus Smart now negates that, right? He makes the five guy, makes you not have a target out there to go towards. And so I think that will significantly help their defense. And he just happens to be the defensive player of the year. That's a nice combination. That will be extremely helpful to the Celtics.
Off season, what do the Sixers do with James Harden? Do they just hope that he opts in for a 1-year deal and they don't have to give him a long term deal?
I think that they would hope that, but I have a feeling they'll meet somewhere in between. I think the market dictates that guys like, I've never seen a guy, you know, like, I don't think other people are, nobody else is going to offer him max, right?
Really? You don't think there's a desperate team out there for relevance?
Maybe. You're right. There's 30 of them, right? And
usually like two of them that spend stupid money.
Yeah, they mess it up. Yeah, you're right. I don't think so. I bet you they meet somewhere in between on this because I still think he's a very useful and talent, not just useful, a very good player. He's just not the same player he was. He doesn't have the explosion. He doesn't have that part. I saw the guy, and it was only 14 months ago, for 2 months with the Brooklyn Nets, be the best player in the NBA. But maybe his hamstring thing has really slowed him down. Maybe it's one more year of getting older. But it's not just that part of his game. Now, he can run an offense. He can set guys. He's a very good passer, and he can make a shot. I just don't think he's a max kind of guy. And I think that a guy like him, you know, I don't know. You don't know what these guys think, but I think he's in a situation where he could win right now, and I'd be surprised if they didn't work something out that was good for him and good for the Sixers.
Tim Kapstra joins us in studio this morning here on the show, and we do a lot of basketball with Tim, but Mraz, I think we got to bring up this Yankees prospect story, okay?
Okay.
Because Capper's been a coach before. He's been around a lot of players, and I think we found the single worst teammate in baseball history. You ready for this?
I think I heard something about it. Okay. Give it to me.
Outfielder, minor league outfielder, Jake Sanford, drafted by the Yankees the third round of 2019 out of Western Kentucky. Promising power. Had 22 home runs in just 56 games at Western Kentucky. Last year was between Class A and High A. Hit 285, 13 doubles, 5 triples, 16 home runs over the course of the season. That's a good thing. Now with the Ottawa Titans of the Frontier League. Now, according to the AP, this is an independent league, no affiliation with Major League Baseball. What happened next is interesting. Sanford's 24 years old. He was released by the Yankees last week, as reported by NJ.com. At least part of the season, he was stealing equipment from teammates and selling it. The story started to spread rather quickly on social media in the last few weeks as some fans started to post messages saying they were scammed out of money in alleged memorabilia sales by this guy. He hounded teammates for their equipment to sell online, sometimes swiping it from their lockers. He was scamming his teammates and, again, victimizing fans too, allegedly selling equipment he could get his hands on. Fans accused him of defrauding them, taking money in advance for autographed equipment that he actually never delivered. His signing bonus for the Yankees was about $590,000. So the guy made nearly $600,000 in a signing bonus and still was stealing teammates' equipment, selling it online, and then promising autographed equipment that actually never went to people, even though they had already paid.
I mean, total jerk and scum. But the only thing I'll say about the autograph part of it is, who is buying all the, like, it's not like he has access to Aroldis Chapman's glove. So if you're buying somebody who plays in Ottawa or the Hudson Valley, I mean, what do you, like, what could possibly be the merchandise in that? $10?
Good point.
Have you ever heard of this, stealing equipment from the locker room and selling it?
No, that's a bad teammate. Right there. That is. I mean, you set it up well. That this might be the worst teammate you've ever heard of, and he's close. He's right there.
This is the second time the Yankees have had a prospect do this, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. If you remember, in 2002, Ruben Rivera, the cousin of Mariano Rivera, got released from the team. He stole a Jeter glove and bat. And was selling it on the open market, just swiping it out of the locker, and they had to release Ruben Rivera. So the Yankees have a problem with prospects stealing.
Our very own Pat Boyle had a cup of coffee in baseball. He was with the Wisconsin Woodchucks a couple of summers ago, right? I guess this was 2015 or so?
Yeah, 2016. I was with the Madison Mallards. The Wisconsin Woodchucks are the ones who beat up on me, the ones.
Oh, right. Yeah. You were a Madison Mallard. Mraz is shocked he didn't realize this. I didn't either until last week we dug into it when Boyle was in on the show and we were digging up some old paper, newspaper articles about him. But Boyle was a starting pitcher for the Madison Mallards, and he got rocked a few times, had some tendonitis to the elbow, eventually had to go home, and that ended his baseball career.
How about that?
I am stunned right now that you're telling me that.
I mean, right? Boyle was?
Was this when he was a pitcher when he had the girl use him for that tattoo and dumped him too?
That was when I got back to college right after that.
Okay. So did you ever have a really bad teammate or roommate on the team that you might worry about stealing some of your stuff and selling it online?
I didn't worry about somebody stealing things. We actually swapped a lot of our gear. So that was really the only thing of people taking things from others, but it was mutual. Like I got an Oklahoma State t-shirt from the one kid, and I was like, here's Drew baseball t-shirt. Probably threw it out a week later. But no, I wasn't worried about anybody stealing anything, although I can imagine you probably keep your stuff real close to you if you were worried.
So like Messi and Ronaldo trading soccer jerseys at center pitch, you were swapping Drew baseball Oklahoma State t-shirts in the Mallards locker room.
Correct.
Okay. D.A., I got something on this. Yes. I was a baseball player in college too at Wagner College, right? So I'm okay. I'm, you know, not decent, right? But I ended up, I'm a captain of the team, but I absolutely lost my glove. I lost my glove, right? So you're making me think of this.
Nice captain.
Now. Right? Nice captain. I'd borrow people's gloves. It was hysterical,
for
right?
For how long?
For about the season. It was unbelievable.
The season.
It was unbelievable. So I'm pitching at Iona. Pat, I don't know if you ever played at Iona. I'm pitching at Iona, right? And I'm pitching, and I'm getting rocked. They got a short right field. I got rocked a lot, but you know what I mean? So anyway.
Sure, the short right field you, Cap.
Oh, sure, yeah. So, yeah, right. But so I borrowed Ed Papirowicz's glove, right? So Ed Papirowicz is the relief pitcher. He comes in the game, I give him the ball and the glove.
Might as well have untied your cleats at that point.
You can't make that up. I'm telling you. I gave him the ball and the glove.
Pat, go get him, buddy. And here's your glove back.
He was warming up the pen with no glove.
Yeah.
He's catching it barehanded.
He was burrowing on Elsa.
Wagner, Iona Baseball. Here comes Ed Papirowicz out of the bullpen. He's got no glove.
I don't know what how that happened. On? How could that have happened? I don't know how that happened. But
the other coaches in the MAC complain about that short porch at Iona. I get a real ballpark.
Yeah. This little league ballpark at Iona.
I got a lot of baseball stuff. Oh, my gosh.
Baseball equipment?
No, baseball.
Stories?
Yeah, I don't want to get into it, though. But
no.
Yeah, but the baseball is unbelievable, right, Pat? I mean, like, and then years ago when you played college baseball, well, I'm not so much older, you know, but I used to, the amount of, like, ragging from the benches when I was playing was so unbelievable. Like, stand-up comedians got their starts. Like, I'm sure it got in dugouts of teams. It was unbelievable.
Chirping's one of the best.
Oh,
was one of the best aspects of playing baseball
in college. It's a skill that is unbelievable in college. Well, they've really kind of curtailed, you know, slowed that down like everything, but it was ugly back then.
So it could get personal.
Oh. I don't want to say something. I got it. Yeah, no, I'm good.
Too bad they didn't have Facebook back then. You guys could have looked up somebody's personal info.
Oh,
started ragging on him for his girlfriend.
They still found a way. They still found a way to do that.
How long do you think Capper played? He was just a couple of years ago.
Yeah. 78 to 82. How about that?
78 to 82, huh?
That's some years, huh? Well, but the glove only for two of those years.
Why didn't you want to get your own glove?
No, it's funny. It became funny. It became hysterical to me. I can actually pull this season off without a glove. If I did.
Well, you really took the job seriously, Capper.
We were actually pretty good, tell you the truth, but which was shocking.
You were starting pitcher?
Yeah, I mean, I was good until and then I moved up to like one of the top pitchers in my life. I got rocked, but I would pitch against. I would pitch against, like, the Frank Violas and John Francos of the world and stuff like that. At the time, St. John's had a field that didn't have, like, regulation fence. Talk about fences. Now, their fence at the time was, like, 500 feet. So I think I beat. Now, my memory gets shaky, but Franco or Viola, I think I beat Viola one time. But there might have been 15 balls hit 480 feet. But our guys just caught them. So I'd be dancing back in. Oh, I got Frankie V. Yeah, he got drafted. But I beat him once.
So every one of your outfielders was like Willie Mays with 51 polo grounds.
Mike Taylor, George Muriel running them down. These guys were unbelievable.
So how about this? Mraz's dad, Bob, of course, the owner of Bob's Bar, where the June 3rd radio show is going to be, his claim to fame is striking out Frank Viola, right?
Or getting a hit off
Viola.
Their travel teams played each other on Long Island. He was the same age.
And this was in the 80s?
No.
Late 70s, 80s. He was my time, 78, 82, yes. And around in that time.
My dad was born in 1960, so do the math. Whatever
it was.
Yeah,
me too.
So same age. And the whole life, anytime you see a Frank Viola, I ripped the hit off him. I ripped the hit off him.
One hit?
All we heard about was the one hit, but once you heard it, like, that's his story. Barbecues, beer open, the hit off Frank Viola. Won the game.
That's all that mattered. Well, we'll be hearing about that on June 3rd.
Poor Frank.
We might have the video. Maybe we can get some video of that. We can reenact it.
So Bob and you, Capper, have the same story. I beat Viola once.
I beat Viola. I did it differently.
No,
swear
actually,
to God, there were
you actually
15
beat him. There's actually
I
a
think
record
I,
of this.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I had a over at again. St. John's had fences that they. I don't know. For some reason, they didn't want to bring them in. It was like, I'm telling you, it was 500 feet, and it was like ridiculous. And they liked it because they played. They were always really good back then. They were always good, and but it worked great for me one time.
So early 80s Iona porch is like Yankee Stadium.
It was a double. Yankee Stadium. It was a double. It was so short.
And St. John's early 80s was like the Polo Grounds.
Exactly. You got to know, right, Patty?
I just pictured Frank Viola in the Metrodome quivering as Capstro and Bob walk in as acquisitions. Oh, no, we're toast.
I got to go meet Bob now. We got to talk.
Oh, man, you and Bob would swap some stories. Could you imagine what your dad would do with Tim Capstra at Bob's bar? He would offer him a seat at the bar, whatever he wanted to drink for the entire night, and as many burgers as he could possibly eat.
And an air mattress under the pool deck.
Unbelievable. You guys are unbelievable. I can't wait to. You're going to post pictures of what's going on June 3rd? Are we going to see everything about this?
Oh, you'll see everything.
Yeah.
We have a whole web team apparently coming out.
Yeah.
It's great.
Once the digital team heard, oh, we're going to invite listeners to this event at Mraz's childhood home, they flocked to make sure their schedules were, I'm going to be on site to document either it's Bobaroo or Babapalooza.
Yeah, I got to get the name right. Babapalooza sounds great. Unbelievable.
Tim Capshaw, NBA analyst, heard on Brooklyn Nets radio broadcasts, seen on NBA TV. Capper, it's always awesome to catch up. Thanks for spending so much time with us. I know that you're a super busy guy these days. So.
Yeah, I'm looking at my schedule right now. I think I'll be okay throughout. I gotta get dry cleaning at 1.
So Capper's going to go in the newsroom, cut some tape for us. He's going to do updates during the Rome show, and then he's going to...
He'd be the first person to cut tape out there in a week.
Ooh.
Now that Bilotti's not in today, Capper can do scheduling.
No. Pete's handling that from home.
Okay. Always awesome to have you in studio, man.
Great time.
Thanks so much. Yeah. Tim Capshaw joining us this morning on the show. When we come back in studio, we will be doing a little stun to a news. And then Canadian bacon coming up next hour here on the show. This is the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
We're toasting to the good life.
I feel alive.
We are feeling good and doing well.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
It's the DA Show's Thirsty Thursday.
Celebrating with some booskies.
That's right. We're toasting to the good stuff. Mraz, lead us off. What are you booskying into?
DA, much like you and the Capper were just talking about a couple minutes ago, the pool. Yesterday, huge spot for me. We're going to have the 90-degree weather. Got to get that pool cover off. But it's always a gamble. What is underneath the cover? Did I do everything right? So yesterday, I bailed the water off the cover, had my wife explain the perfect operation to get the cover off with me. So it's a two-person job. Get that cover off with no leaves or anything falling in the pool. We got the cover off.
Wow.
Crystal clear
water.
Wow. Filter getting up and running. Couple chemicals added, pH, I'm hoping it's perfect. I think the pool will cover off ready in 24 hours. A perfect pool opening I'm toasting to.
Wow.
Let's get the summer started.
Wow.
Booskies.
Wow. How could it be crystal clear after a winter?
Crystal clear. I did a really good vacuum and chemical cleanse before I put the cover on. But still, it's a gamble. You never know, stuff blows in underneath the cover. Not a problem. Got the cover off. Nothing fell in. I did it. Let's go. I was doing one of those. I was so pumped up.
Not at Bob's Bar by the Bay.
Not in the pool.
Pat Boyle, who are you toasting to?
I'm going to, you know, I like to embody the people sometimes I'm filling in for. So embodying the body.
Uh-huh.
One of the big Mets fans, Pete Bilotti. I am toasting the New York Mets. I will be at the game today.
Oh.
1 o'clock, little matinee on a Thursday. I was hoping the weather was going to be a little bit better. It's currently pouring rain outside here in New York City, but it's supposed to clear up, overcast. It's going to be cloudy, but low 60s. I mean, look, Thursday afternoon baseball.
A day at the ballpark is great no matter what.
There you go. Like my dad always says, bad day at golf is better than a good day at work. So this is baseball, but
and that's baseball season.
Yeah, I'll be at the Mets game. And you know another thing, too, is one of the callers that calls into WFAN in New York City a lot actually set this up.
Really?
So it'll be me, it'll be Big Zoo, who works here at Odyssey, and it'll be a couple of WFAN callers.
Wow.
Which is always, you know, a little unpredictable going in, but he bought the ticket. I was like, how much do I owe you? $40. I was like, all right. I'm just going to show up, meet him at the Seaver statue, take my ticket, walk right into Citi Field.
Right on.
When
all
I don't
right.
have to set stuff up and I can just go there and be a part of the show, that's always a good
You're
time.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and toast Eric and Ronkonkoma in the New York Mets.
Okay, there we go.
Booskies.
Eric and Ronkonkoma. AB, who are you toasting to?
I'm going to toast the non-alcoholic Booski to the third through sixth graders at both my kids' schools. Tuesday night was the annual spring concert, which we, of course, haven't had the last couple years because of COVID. But it's might be my favorite night on the school calendar because these sweet little kids singing, kind of dancing. My daughter debuted in the band this year on the drums and crushed it. And it's just a really, awesome. Really cool hour of kids being kids, having fun, doing a good job. Almost cried again, 2 for 2. First
wow.
time 2 years ago. Almost
wow.
went tears in my eyes last night, Tuesday night as well. I don't know why I'm so moved by it, but it's super cool. So, again, an O'Doul's to the kids and their teachers for putting it together.
Booskies. Yeah. I know when Rosie leaps all the way to the top shelf in the bathroom. I get a little teary-eyed as well.
Same thing.
Boy, that's that's my cat. I am toasting to really good neighbors. I got a great neighbor. His name is Jim. And he's got a younger daughter, and I dropped by. I saw his daughter out in the yard the other day. Jim has helped me out on some stuff on my property. Jim actually invited me out to go bass fishing last year in his bass boat, which is just amazing. So I stopped by. I saw his daughter was out in the yard. I wanted to say hello. I hadn't seen her in a while. Figure she was out for the day, and you know, so I could talk to her, and she's such a sweetheart. And I get out, and I see Jim is doing some roofing. So I'm like, hey, Jim, don't need to bother you. Just wanted to say hello to the family. His wife was outside as well because it was a beautiful day. So I say hello to his daughter, say hello to his wife, and Jim didn't even turn around. Didn't even look at him. I'm like, boy, I guess Jim's just ignoring me. That's okay. You're busy. You're roofing. That's fine. So I talk to the family for a little bit. I'm about to turn around, and I make a joke like, I guess Jim's ignoring me. Jim doesn't say anything, goes into the house. I'm like, what did I do? He comes out with a beer and a water. He goes, which do you want? And I was like, the beer? Yeah, okay, great. And he just was like, and he took off his headphones. He was working with headphones on the roof, and he came down. He's like, no, just wanted to talk. And I just love a guy that you walk over. He doesn't even need to ask if you want a beer. He just brings out the beer.
That's awesome.
And you just, okay, so let's catch up. And we were laughing. We were talking about last fall and what he's going to do this summer and his fishing plans and everything. And I'm just like, that's a good neighbor. Where you go over to his house. He doesn't even need to say anything to you. Walks in, gets a beer, comes out, gives you the beer. What do you want to talk about? I'm like, that's my type of guy. So Jim, my neighbor, Booskies.
Let's get lit!
Literally, he gave me a Booski. Carla tweets, Booskies to Bob's Bar for opening up to all of the aliens. Wish I still lived in Philly. I would have made the trip. Oh, well. Hashtag unpipe it. DA Show quotes tweets, we're toasting to Ed Paperowitz for letting Capper use his glove for an entire season. Hashtag Booskies.
Booskies.
We'll that That might be the prototypical Tim Capstraw story, that not only did he lose his glove, but then he accepted the challenge of finishing the season without it because it entertained him. He's just the best.
And he was the captain of the team.
Right. Right. And he's like, I'm gonna try and do this without my own glove. I love that man.
Tim Capstraw, a.k.a. The Capper, joining us in studio, is one of the great guests and friends of the show we've ever had. It's like we've been friends with him our entire lives. Every time he comes in, it's just hysterical. He's got great stories. He just totally fits the show perfectly. So we love having him in the show.
And also, he swings the door when he first gets it. He goes, Patty Boyle's here. Pat, what's going on? I'm like, how do you know Pat Boyle?
That's my guy. Capper's my guy.
It's awesome. It's just awesome. So send us your tweets and who you're toasting Booskies to at DA on CBS. Bogues has our headlines.
And they are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, your car, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. Insured a lot of things, so bundle today at Progressive.com. Some people declare the AL East over when their favorite team gets fat on some crappy teams in May. Others don't sweat a 25-point loss to start a playoff series. Mavs guard Spencer Dinwiddie's in that second group.
It's a series. You know what I mean? I don't think Golden State's sitting over there saying they won the same way we ain't sitting over here saying we lost. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to get four wins. So, same vibe.
Dinwiddie had 17 off the bench. Really the only frontline Mav that shot it well last night. Lucas scored only 20, missing 12 of 18 shots, harassed most of the game by Andrew Wiggins. He also added 19 points and 3 assists, while Steph Curry scored 21 with 12 boards in the 112-87 final. Game 2 tomorrow night, still in San Francisco. Tonight, it's the Heat and Celtics back on the floor in Miami. Marcus Smart should return from his foot injury, but Al Horford still in health and safety protocols, so he is doubtful for Boston. In the general Carolina area last night, the Hurricanes and Rangers began their second-round series. The Canes scored with 2:23 left in regulation, then 3:12 into overtime for a 2-1 victory. Then the Flames outscored the Oilers 9-6 to start their first playoff meeting since 91. Matthew Tkachuk, a hat trick for Calgary. Meanwhile, Nathaniel Lowe, you're the extra inning ending man.
Oh! Alrighty, Iglesias working on the first base side of the rubber. The first pitch to Lowe, driven to right field. Down the line, if it's fair, this is over. That is a fair ball! Out of here! A walk-off home run for Nathaniel Lowe! And the Rangers win 6-5.
As heard on Rangers radio, a 6-5 win over the Angels, who scored 2 in the ninth to extend the game, took the lead top 10 on a Mike Trout RBI, but again, lose on that 2-run homer. Max Scherzer left last night, start early with left side discomfort. He's hopeful he avoided a major muscle injury. There's an MRI today. His Mets went on to beat the Cardinals 11-4. And the PGA Championship officially underway at Southern Hills in Tulsa. We're roughly 40 minutes away, though.
Tiger Woods
teeing off with Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth.
There's nothing better than just randomly inserting Anne Liguori's voice into your updates. You could easily say all of these golfers' names, but you resist, and you have to play Anne.
Yeah, and I have many of them that hopefully will pop up between now and Monday morning when we have to recap the PGA
Lewis
Championship. There's another one of them. Tiger said earlier this week his right leg stronger than it was 5 weeks ago at the Masters.
Do we take anything seriously around here?
No,
can
we can't.
Anything be taken seriously?
On that note, let's get stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
This one came from multiple listeners, so if that's you, thank you very much. And what a classy lady we have this morning. Still unnamed, this great little bit of wife material strolled into a beauty supply store in Wichita, Kansas, 2 Tuesdays ago, dropped trow and did a number two.
Oh, no.
In the middle of an aisle.
That's technically not an oopsie, because that's not a mistake.
No, this was
planned.
A targeted attack, and it was so heinous. And again, in this beauty supply store, 8 wigs totaling roughly $200 had to be destroyed. Now, It sounds like they took some shrapnel because police said they were not. They were not used as toilet paper. The entire incident is on security footage, but police are not releasing it, they say, for our own good. They did.
I think they're right.
Yeah, they did release photos of this woman who was ID'd within 90 minutes of the posting. She has since admitted to doing this in another establishment, but police don't know her motive.
Number two.
What type of person do you have to be to where your revenge is to go to a place and deuce it up? And then secondly, what could the grievance be? What? How could you get so mad at a beauty supply store to where you're like, you know what? This is my only retort.
So that's your focus. Mine is on the mechanics of the wigs becoming innocent bystanders here.
Yeah, like, we love playing the game wig or poop.
Right. Like, so it wasn't just that she did this in the middle of the aisle, but it had enough force on its way
out. It's on the floor.
That it, right. Like, you'd think if you, you know, you squat a little bit, it could be a very succinct area that is victimized by this. But instead, it apparently splattered. Like, do we need CSI in here to give me, like, blood splatter analysis and how this got up into the wigs that then needed to be destroyed?
It's like launch angle in baseball.
The exit velo on this must have been insane.
The exit velo is very, very high.
This was not a dribble of the third baseline. This was a screaming liner in the right center.
I, for one, know what I'm doing at Target later if they don't have any baby formula.
And wigs are oftentimes, if not always, on mannequin heads or plastic heads at the top shelf.
Right, eye level at least.
Always eye level. You're not sticking wigs on that bottom shelf. That's usually where the hair product would be, or the cotton balls or something. So the idea that the wigs were affected by said drive-by is quite alarming.
I'll tell you what else is alarming. The next link in the story that Bogus sent, which maybe tomorrow's Thunder News, police, Arby's manager urinated in milkshake mix.
It was actually going to be tomorrow's. But I'll give you the Cliff Notes there. I had seen that one too. Apparently, they were investing in this guy for something else and on security footage saw him doing this into the milkshake machine. And then people drank it. They served the milkshake because nobody knew.
That's wretched.
That milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
No, it turns them all away.
Yeah, it's not bringing anybody to the yard.
No. This is in Wichita.
Yeah.
That was in Wichita, too?
No, the Ohio?
The point was they were connected stories.
Yeah,
no, would you rather wear one of those wigs or drink one of those milkshakes?
Wear the wig. You're not ingesting.
You'd rather wear a poopy wig?
If it's got a few splatters, at least I can wash myself. It's disgusting, but I don't want to drink somebody's pee-pee Arby's.
No, it's on your skin. At least you get it. Once you get that milkshake down, it's down. That smell can linger on your
hair. I'd rather drink.
I'm drinking, too.
Pee-pee Arby's?
Pee-pee Arby's. It's pee in a milkshake. It's not full pee.
He's right about that.
Oh, the dilution's going to help you?
The dilution will absolutely help. Are you kidding me?
I don't think we know.
I can make the argument. Good answer here.
I can make the argument. You might not taste any pee.
Well, you wouldn't taste it. I agree with that. But you would know that you're ingesting it.
Would you?
You would. Well,
now you're
told later.
After the fact, you're like, hey, did I get one of those milkshakes? Did I not? I'm going to lean on the side of optimism.
Yeah, think about what you're putting on your head smeared. You know what?
Well,
you know that that's poop.
I don't want it. But I just don't want to ingest pee-pee Arby's.
And we
I'm not taking any choice on it.
And we don't know enough details about the poop wigs to really come to a decision here. Because if you could safely get it on your head, I think that's better.
Yes, safely. Yeah. There is some human defecation on this wig. But if you can very delicately adjust it on your head.
If there's a place for me to hold it to get on my head, I'd rather do that than drink a urine shake.
Safely
100%.
Nestle it. No, I'm drinking the urine shake.
Again, I'll ask this question. Do we take anything seriously around here?
And by the way, new segment for the Bob's Bar Show. Wig or pee-pee milkshake?
When we come back on the show, Kelly Stafford was stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
DA is like the James Harden of Odyssey. Just does whatever the hell he wants to do.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I'll tell you, this Kelly Stafford story is embarrassing. The wife of Super Bowl winning quarterback Matthew Stafford got tricked on social media the other day. There was a fake news story. Fake news where Aaron Rodgers was quoted as saying something about her husband, and it was not a real quote. The quote was that Rodgers and Kirk Cousins have a friendship together. It says, "Kirk and I actually are good friends. He's someone I respect a lot. We have similar beliefs and values. Each offseason, his family will come out and have a meal at my place. He always invites me out to return the favor. You just don't see players like him and I very often in this league. Take the North, for example, is in the NFC North. If you put him or I on the Lions or Bears, we would be the best QB that franchise has ever seen." Now, she responded by saying, "Yeah, you're wrong. Maybe the Bears, maybe." Because, again, her husband was a Lions QB. And no disrespect to Matthew Stafford or Kelly here, but Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Matthew Stafford. So he is right about that in this fake quote. So you can't really get angry at that. But then she also retweeted it and commented about how, you know, upset she was about this. And the funny thing is that the Twitter handle that this came from is at NFC North News with two S's. So Kelly Stafford was literally stunned to a news. Hey, this just in, if the Twitter handle you're getting your news from has two S's in news, it's probably not real. When we come back, Warriors get game one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.